Hack the Entrepreneur is part of Rainmaker FM, the digital business podcast network. Find more great shows and education at rainmaker.fm.
Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, this is Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me again today. I'm your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. My guest today is the self-proclaimed world's most handsome social media and content marketing strategist. He said it, I didn't. Keynote speaker and an entrepreneur. He is the founder and chief strategist behind True Voice Media, a company that helps businesses adapt and prosper by understanding the massive shifts in the media landscape. He is also a sought-after public speaker, and of all the things he does, public speaking is absolutely his favorite. Now, let's hack Jeff Gibbard. I want to take a moment to thank today's sponsor, Harry's. Guys, everybody knows good things come in sets of three. And what does that have to do with anything? Well, get this. March is the third month of the year. But it also happens to be our friends over at Harry's third anniversary as a business. And if you're new to Harry's, I've got a special deal for you to try three of their expertly crafted five-blade German razors, a handle and shaving cream for just $10 with the offer code HACK. Now, I'm not going to lie. I typically despise shaving. But since I got sent this kit about 3 weeks ago now from Harry's, I actually enjoy shaving, and I'm shaving daily with this five. It's comfortable and smooth and nice. Can you feel it? You can't feel that. And a good shaving kit is great and all, but why would you pay $32 for an 8-pack of blades when you can get them for half the price at harrys.com? The Harry starter set is an amazing deal. And right now for just $10 with promo code HACK, you can get it for yourself. Harry's doesn't like to discount because their prices are already really low, but I've worked out a special offer for you. Harry's will give you $5 off your first order with promo code HACK. Stop overpaying for a great shave. Go to harrys.com right now. That's harrys.com. Enter promo code HACK at checkout, and you will get $5 off your first purchase. Welcome back to another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. Today we have a very, very special guest, Jeff. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. My pleasure, man. It's going to be a blast, I think.
I agree with you.
Awesome. Let's jump straight into it, Jeff. Jeff, as an entrepreneur, can you tell me what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
It's funny because I think I'd have to... Mentally, I have to wrap my head around whether I need to compare myself to other entrepreneurs there versus people who have jobs. But I guess I would say it's the ability to be flexible in the face of defeat. So it's that moment where, which I've hit several times, where I say, oh, I'm going to go out of business now and I have to go and get a job. And then I stop, I pause, I regroup, I rethink, and I try to figure out a way out of the destitute situation that I'm in to get back to a place where the ground is firmly back under my feet. So I'd say it's a willingness to reassess a situation when you think all hope is lost or it's just broken and you know, not going to go anywhere, and then figure out a way out.
Wow. So that's your comparison to other entrepreneurs, I'm guessing.
I mean, I guess I would say all entrepreneurs to a certain extent have a similar sort of genetic makeup, I guess, in how we approach life, how we approach our careers, how we approach problems. So I think most entrepreneurs are going to be pretty flexible. At least they have to if they're going to succeed. You know, they also have to be able to overcome fear when they're down. They have to, you know. So I guess I would say every entrepreneur is going to have an answer that I would give in some sense or another. But I think for me, what's allowed me to feel good about how I got to where I am now and where I feel like I'm going to be able to go is that willingness to basically never call it quits and just to figure out a way out. I kind of think of it like Batman. You know, Batman's never out of it. He always strategizes a way out of a situation, which is what makes him the world's greatest detective and one of the finest and most adored superheroes. So I'm Batman.
Wow. Nice. It's a bold statement, but okay, well, fair enough.
Call me Batman at Starbucks. That's what I put on the name on the cup. So when I walk in, they go, Batman! So it's natural for me to go back to that.
Nice. Okay, so let's go back to then when this all sort of started for you, because there seems to be this like very definitive point in people's lives where they realize, like looking back now, they realize that they either became sort of unemployable and they just couldn't work for somebody else anymore, or they found that they had this calling to sort of make this big difference in the world. So, Jeff, if you could take us back to the moment this happened to you and just tell us which side of the fence you see yourself on.
I wish, I honestly, when you gave those kind of two divergent paths or related paths, I wish that I could answer you that I had some great calling and that's what did it. But I think it's more that I realized very early on that I just did not ever want to work for somebody else, that I just couldn't. I couldn't tolerate it. I couldn't stomach it. It made me nauseous to think about taking orders from somebody else and contributing to somebody else's success instead of my own. So for me, it was a real unwillingness to have anything other than a life of autonomy. So I don't know when exactly that would be, but I would say I was a class clown in school. You know, I definitely had a thing with authority throughout my entire life. And if I looked at the career paths that I chose from the age of 13 up until presently, I guess I would say they're all driven by a passion to do a particular thing and to do it my way. And that's probably the common through line that got me. Now, all the things I wanted to do were big and ambitious, and I wanted to change the world with them in some form or another. But it definitely started with the realization that it just wasn't going to work having me work for somebody else.
Wow. Fully 100% unemployable.
Yeah. Psychologically unemployable, as a friend of mine, that's the term that they use. And I've adopted it since. And you know what? Honestly, a lot of entrepreneurs talk about this kind of unemployable thing. And I think that I've even gone so far as to paint myself into a corner with that, because on one of the blogs that I write on, I often talk about how I would be such a terrible employee. Please, God, don't let them read my blog.
You could just say it was all positioning at the time.
Yeah, right.
But so, I mean, now it's easy to say, and it's fun to laugh, and it's fun to be part of the unemployable crowd. I agree. I'm in that position too, and I absolutely like it. But sometimes, I don't know, man, with me, it was like a struggle when I was employed, but I had those feelings like you where I didn't like authority. I didn't like being told what to do. I didn't like sort of pushing somebody else's dream further than mine by working for them. Yet, and that's kind of the path that everyone's told. And so you kind of feel like you're on the quote unquote right path at that point, but it's hard because you feel this like something pulling you the other direction. So was that hard for you? And was there this fear when you stepped out of that role of being employed to like just going the path that you needed to go? Was it a struggle for you at the time?
I would say being an entrepreneur is a struggle every day. And I think it's a success every day. I just wrote a post about this that I think there's really, in my mind at least, and for me, there's fundamentally no difference between being a struggling entrepreneur and being a successful entrepreneur, because I am always wary of, you know, all of the things that could potentially go wrong and all of that. And that motivates me and drives me forward. And then when I'm successful, it's never quite enough. So it's constantly that. And when I first took the leap, it was not exactly by choice. It was more that things in the job that I had kind of fell apart given the industry I'm in and the maturity of it. So I just kind of found myself out of a job. And thankfully at the time I was married, and, you know, she had a job that could support the both of us. So it really gave me that opportunity. And I'll always thank my ex-wife for the fact that I had the opportunity to start this company, because without her, I don't know when I would have started it. I know at some point I would have made the leap, but I probably would have done it more intelligently or planned. But yeah, it was terrifying at the time. You know, the finances of it were really, they weighed on me very heavily. But in terms of my mindset, it was almost like, you know, that kind of love at first sight thing that you have in relationships and love. You know, you meet this person, you're like, oh my God, I've been waiting my entire life for them. It was that when I first got to start this company, when the first time I went out and I had my first client within about 4 hours of being laid off, a client that I had came with me. And the first time I went out and visited them on my own time, on my own turf, it was like I just had fallen head over heels in love with the career that I was supposed to have.
Wow. I love it. And it's It's funny how often that happens where you're kind of forced into it and it wasn't a choice. You literally, you lose your, you've had this thought and then you lose your job and it's kind of like, okay, now's the time. I have to do this.
Yep.
Which sucks going through it. It really does. But it's also, it's sort of that moment, right? Where everything just happens and that's, you're forced into it. And when you're sort of forced, your hand is forced, it's the best thing you can do, man. You're up against a wall. You got to just create something now.
100%. I've always felt that I'm at my best when my back is against the wall. So for me, the challenge has always been, how do I create that when my back is actually not against the wall? How do I invent a mindset where I am pressed against the wall, even though I'm actually not?
Yeah, I love that. I mean, that's a reason why, I mean, I hate having plan B sometimes.
Yeah.
Plan B is just because people typically, you won't push plan A hard enough because, well, I just have plan B, that's all. And it's the path you don't want to take.
Yes.
Just burn the ships behind you, man. You have to win the fight.
Yeah, exactly. I wrote a post called No Exits where it was the secret of willpower. And I think to a certain extent, the secret of success for me is I just create a situation in which there is no alternative. When I quit smoking, it's just not an option. When I was married, it was like other women are just not an option. So everything that I do where I'm trying to succeed at a particular thing, I generally try to make it so that there's one objective and one objective only, and there are no exits along the way.
I love it. I love it. All right, Jeff. So at the beginning, you told us your ability to be flexible in the face of defeat is your one thing. Now, every blog post expert talks 80-20 rule, right? Do 20%, mm-hmm. get 80% of the results, do what you're good at, and delegate the rest. Jeff, can you tell me something that you're absolutely not good at in your business?
Oh my God. how much time do we have? Just one thing? It's a really good question because there's so many that I could focus on. And I think if I were to look at the one thing, it's probably the operations of the business itself. You know, it's that work in your business or on your business thing. And I forget which is which, but in terms of paying attention to my business as my child, I spend a lot more time focusing on the work that I'm doing and the clients and all of that than I do thinking about how I structure my business to be able to scale, how I bring on the right people, how I leverage my own time to create more time, how I leverage people to create more time, how to manage my finances so that we have more of a cushion. You know, it's the operating of the business itself. I would say I'm very good at what I do. I think just sometimes as far as the business, I'm not very good at how I do it. So I'd say that's probably my greatest weakness I think my dream would be to be the CEO of my company, but not even run it. Like literally have somebody who handles the legal and risk, the operations, the accounting, the finance. And basically I just get to show up and sell and create strategy.
Nice. I love it. So you're working in your business, not on your business.
Yes.
The CEO works on the business. The person doing the actual work is the one working in it. And that's a really... I like that you have this awareness of this quote unquote problem, which is a problem for scale, mm-hmm. obviously, but lots of us have this, especially getting going. Lots of us even just stay there. That's where the sort of blurring between freelance and entrepreneurship even sometimes get really blurry because freelancers typically never work on their business. They work in their business doing the work and they can do that for the rest of their life and make really good money. And that's what some people want. But knowing this, Jeff, about yourself, do you think or do you have a plan to work on this and sort of pull yourself out of it in some way? Like other than just like hiring a VA, but like do you think you have a plan or a roadmap that you can go through to really make sure that this does happen at some point when the time's right for your business?
Yes, I do. And lately I've been doing something that I have not done throughout my whole business, which is to have a coach and a mentor. And that's been we're only one session in at this point, but it's been extremely valuable for me because they hold me accountable and they hold me to task when I let my own stuff get in the way. They hold the mirror up and show me that it's in my way. So in terms of how I'm going to go about doing that, what the plan is, I have the plan and to date, and you know, and I'm still working on this plan, but to date, my plan has been to out-earn my ability to not scale, if that makes sense. I basically look at it as there's going to come a point where I'm going to bring in enough work that I'm going to be able to have the means available to just bring on all the right people to handle all of those things. And that will be that next level. Nice. Because I have the list of all the things I don't want to do. I have a list of all the things that need to get done. I have a list of all the things that I think and in rank, you know, different varying levels of certainty will grow my business either from a marketing or sales perspective and even, you know, delivery of work to the client. So I have all of this planned out, but to get to that, I have to first drive enough of the business to be able to bring on the right people. And that's a very important word there, the right people, to help me leverage my own time and take away the things that I'm not good at. So really my plan is to scale via good people.
Nice. Did you have you ever had a coach or mentor before?
I had a mentor for maybe like 2 months at one point. It was the first entrepreneur I met and like spent any significant time with after I had started my business. And it was one of the most pivotal moments in my career as an entrepreneur because it was the first time I felt that I wasn't alone. Because I found that entrepreneurialism is a very, very lonely world because you feel like it's you against the world and nobody that has a job actually understands you. And then when you sit down with another entrepreneur, you're like, oh, wow, there's other crazy people out there. Awesome. So I sat down with this guy for, I don't know, for a couple meetings. But then it was just the sort of thing where like we both got busy and I don't think he was committed to the mentorship and I didn't follow up enough. So this is the first time I'm ever going to have an actual legitimate business coaching relationship, and I'm going to see it through. You know, the goal is to at least 6 months I have to make it on this, but I'd like to continue beyond that if it keeps providing this kind of value.
Nice. I love it. All right, let's move to projects, Jeff.
Okay.
So projects, very loose term, some new direction you want to go with your business, a new sort of side business altogether, anything that comes across your plate and you need to determine which way to go. I would love to know right now what sort of your internal process, or if you have a separate written process, but what that process is when an idea comes through your inbox or comes through your head in the shower of a new venture or a new direction to head, and whether to how you decide whether or not it's worth your time, energy, and resources.
I'd say that my default, so I come up with, and this is probably not uncommon for entrepreneurs, I come up with ideas like almost every single day. I'm constantly thinking, oh, that would be cool. This would be cool. This would be a neat little workshop, or that would be a cool app to build. So I think of all these things. And what I've determined, at least in the last maybe 8 months or so, is the answer is no. I don't do it. I don't care how good the idea is. Not yet. The number one priority right now is that I need to focus on going deep in my business and growing this original business before I take on a second one. The only caveat to that is that I am currently completely obsessed with passive income projects and online courses and building something where, you know, as we're having this conversation, my phone could be buzzing and telling me I just made $100, $200, $500, whatever. So that's the only thing that I am entertaining these days. And for those, I'm basically giving myself the weekend to work on that. And if I'm not hanging out with my girlfriend or friends and have other plans, I work on the side project. But Monday through Friday, and even oftentimes on weekends, it's all True Voice Media all the time.
Nice. So you are spending your weekend working on these projects. So push them forward.
Yeah, I have a number of side like online courses and things like that that I'm putting together on weekends. Even a lot of my speaking engagements, I'll use the weekend to put those together because I see them as sort of connected to my business, but they're sort of ancillary, more the brand of Jeff Gibbard rather than, you know, my company. So I've really tried to, and I honestly, I don't know if you've ever had him on your show or not, I didn't see, but Derek Halpern, I'm sure you follow his stuff.
I do.
But I once had a conversation with him and it was about 3 years ago, maybe 2 years ago. And I was just asking him some advice and he said, it's a lot easier to dig one 100-foot hole than 101 foot holes. And that stuck with me ever since because it was one of those situations where I was having all of these ideas kind of popping up and I was trying to run with all of them. And he basically looked at it and he was like, you need to focus. You're never going to grow this business if you don't focus. So I've kind of had that and it's been a game of whack-a-mole, but you know, I really try and use the extra time that I have as opposed to my primary time for all the side projects.
Nice. So yeah, so one 100 foot hole rather than 101 foot holes. I like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Yeah.
So now you just stay focused on True Voice Media all through the week. Your extracurricular sort of activities can be following these pursuits.
Yeah. And another thing is related to that. It's important who you surround yourself with for that reason, because I'm the type of person where I just have ideas all the time. And if I have someone around me who gets excited about those and wants to run with each of them, I have a really hard time then saying no, because now I'm catching their enthusiasm about the thing that I just came up with. And now all of a sudden I've got 40 side projects and my clients are wondering why I haven't gotten back to them. So Yeah, it's important to surround yourself with people who are more likely to say, that's a good idea, but maybe you should just continue focusing on what you do.
Yeah, exactly. And I think we all get the idea, the lure of side projects, because new ideas do come to us all the time. And we want to go in 100 different directions, but it's really, really hard and probably not the best thing to do. But when you do decide to go in and start digging this 100-foot hole, Jeff, how do you determine when that hole is the wrong hole? Meaning that, I mean, one of our biggest fears, right, is this struggle with being wrong and making a mistake and failing. So you've decided to go all in and focus truly on this project within your company and push it and push it and push it. But feedback or metrics or something is coming back and telling you that it's wrong. How do you determine whether to keep going or that it is wrong and you need to just pick a new hole?
I mean, it's a good question because I very well could be digging the wrong hole right now. And I recently actually made a pivot in my business for that very reason, because I had since 2011 really been pushing this concept of social business. And I thought for the whole time I've been in business, I've thought this is the most brilliant thing. It's fascinating. It's interesting. But the marketplace wasn't looking for it. Nobody's searching for that. None of my clients wanted to talk about that. They had something they wanted to talk about. And then I was trying to force my conversation. So I had to recently pivot, realizing that I was digging the wrong hole. But I didn't abandon the concept. I just listened to the feedback and I altered how I was talking about what we do to meet what people were looking for. And I just slightly altered our service offering and how we presented ourselves. Now, I could be completely wrong. I could come to a certain point in the future and realize that I have bet on the wrong horse. But I think that's what you do as an entrepreneur, is that you see something in the future and you see something you want to fix and a vision. You have to go at it because you feel it in your gut. And I feel in my gut that I'm on the right path. I'm just too early. So I have to be patient and wait it out until we're there.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, you feel in your gut right now that it's the right direction. It's the right direction for you, apparently, from now. I mean, in a year, it might need site altering or a pivot, as you say.
Yep.
Do you feel that that makes you wrong now? Or is that just, do you feel like you have to kind of just take information as it comes and sort of keep pivoting and adjusting as you're going?
Yeah, I'm, like I said, I'm very flexible in that sense. And I am one of the most willing people to make mistakes. I mean, I hate them. I hate being wrong. I hate screwing something up. But inevitably, every single thing I've done that has yielded any sort of positive results in my entire life has been the result of just utter miserable failure. But I think for me, it's a matter of I go completely 100% in on it. And then when I hit the failure point, I adapt and I learn from it and I go into the next thing. But I don't know any other way, really, than to go 100% full steam ahead at it and then fail and then figure it out. Because I think unless I look at it this way, if I don't give it my 100%, then I don't know if I was wrong about it because I didn't give it 100% or because it was the wrong idea. So if I go at it 100% and I fail, well, then it might just need tweaking in the idea or whatever. But if I didn't give it the proper effort or commitment to it, then maybe that was the problem.
Oh, I love it. It's true. Go all in. Otherwise, you never know, right? You just kind of get stuck in this. And if it doesn't work, it might have just been because you didn't push it hard enough.
Yeah, I can live with being wrong. I can't live with quitting. And there's a really big difference between the two for me, is that, you know, I am perfectly okay with trying something and having it not work. I don't anticipate that I'm the smartest guy in the world or that I'm perfect or anything. Even in my own business, you know I'm really good, but I'm going to make mistakes. But effort is something entirely that I can control. And I know that if I put it all in, then I can live with that and I can sleep at night. But if I half-ass it, then I have no one to blame but myself.
I love it. I love it. All right, Jeff, this has been a total blast. I want to wrap up on one final question for you. You've been at this game of entrepreneurship now for about 5 years, I believe.
Yep.
You were kind of forced into it through unemployment, back up against the wall, and now it's been a good journey for you. But as entrepreneurs, as dreamers, we have this tendency to never see ourselves as successful no matter what we accomplish. Yet from the outside, oftentimes it looks like we're on this great trajectory. But we always set like a new goal. When I get to stand on this stage, when I hit this revenue metric in 6 months, I'll be successful. Yet right before you hit that, you set 10 loftier ones into the future. And it literally does not matter ever what you accomplish. You always looking at the next one. So Jeff, I would love it right now if you would stop and turn around and look behind you at all you've accomplished in your entrepreneurial like career up till this point, the highs, the lows, the wins, and the losses. And tell me how you feel about everything up until today.
Wow, that was like so painfully accurate. It's ridiculous. I'm not satisfied. I'm thrilled that I've gotten to this point. I love the life that I have. The last 5 years of my life, personal and professional ups and down, you know, downs aside, I guess, has been some of the most enjoyable 5 years of my life, just in terms of my mindset and my feeling of comfort in what I'm supposed to be doing. So for that, I couldn't be happier with the choice that I made. In terms of the successes that I've had, there are a number of things that I'm so happy that I've gotten the opportunity to do, things that I can't even believe if I had said to myself years ago that I would be speaking at a conference in Amsterdam, or that, you know, I would have gotten to keynote something, or that, you know, I'd have gotten to work with brands of, you know, multi-billions of dollars. I don't even know if I would have believed that my company was going to do that, because I was, you know, I was so just starting out, and that was so pipe dream. But to your point, I think every time I've reached any sort of a milestone, I agree that is exactly how it's happened. I've seen the next step, and that's now success. I'm never actually satisfied, to be honest. And you're right. There are people from the outside. They're like, hey, it looks like you're killing it and this and that. And all I keep thinking is like, no, there's so much more. You don't even know where, because I see the goal, and the goal post to me is so far out in the future, and it's so much bigger than this. And I'm sure when I get to that, I'll probably be like, yeah, but you don't understand. The goal is so much bigger. But that was the way you framed that was really, it was really accurate and was really powerful, because it's when I look back on it all, yeah, there's a lot that I'm really proud of. But I think the way you framed it was actually perfect. It's never enough.
Yeah, that's awesome. And yeah, man, from the outside, it looks like you are killing it. But I know that's how it is personally. It's just you always... And it's not that you want more. It's not greed. It's just you need to push yourself. And it's something we do have to necessarily do as entrepreneurs. We have to push ourselves forward.
Yeah, it's passion and ambition.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to.
Yeah. All right, Jeff, it's been a blast. We've got to talk about your business in passing. Could you specifically tell the listener where to go find out more about you and your business?
Absolutely. I'm easy to find personally. Just type Jeff, J-E-F-F, Gibbard, G-I-B-B-A-R-D, into Google, and you will find a bevy of results. And my company is True Voice Media, and we're a social media and content marketing agency headquartered in Philadelphia, but working with anybody anywhere that wants to be freaking awesome at the social media and content marketing game. TrueVoiceMedia.com, True Voice Media all over the web. Listen to our podcast and read our blog and all that sort of good stuff.
Excellent. 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 TrueVoiceMedia.com. Jay Gibbard, I believe, on Twitter.
Yeah, that's actually the best place to connect with me. I am the biggest fan of the Twitters, and at Jay Gibbard. I also own at Jeff Gibbard, but I don't really check it. So do at Jay Gibbard. That's the best place to reach me on the entire interwebs.
Excellent. I will link to those in the show notes. Reach out to Jeff on Twitter and tell him you heard him on the show. He'd love to hear from you. And once you get back from driving or working out, I will link to all of his other places on the show notes, so they're easy for you to find. So Jeff, once again, thank you so much, man, for stopping by. Just please keep doing what you're doing, man, because from here, it does look like it's awesome.
Excellent.
And inspiring to watch.
Thank you, John. I appreciate it. This was a lot of fun. Thanks so much for having me.
My pleasure. Well, that was a lot of fun. I thank you, Jeff, and I thank you for joining us out there. That was a great conversation. Jeff is somebody that he's going to go places. He's got the energy. He's got the gumption, as they say, and the willingness to just go out there and do it. And I love that about him. This conversation was a lot of fun, and we touched on some really, really, really important things. And I love seeing his perspective on it. I love how he admitted he was completely unemployable and then kind of through some issues ended up just having to start his own business. But it's been years now, 7 years, I think, and he's been just really successful at it. And it's cool. I love those stories. I really, really, truly do. And I love bringing those stories to you. But we hit the point in the show where I had to go back. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 things that Jeff said that I needed to go back and listen to because I needed to choose one for you. But there was 8. So I went back and there was 6. Then I went back again and I got down to 4. Then there was 3. Then there was 2. Then there was 1. One thing that Jeff said that just absolutely hit home with me. One thing. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
Inevitably, every single thing I've done that has yielded any sort of positive results in my entire life has been the result of just utter miserable failure. But I think for me, it's a matter of I go completely 100% in on it. And then when I hit the failure point, I adapt and I learn from it and I go into the next thing. But I don't know any other way really than to go 100% full steam ahead at it and then fail and then figure it out. Because I think unless I look at it this way, if I don't give it my 100%, then I don't know if I was wrong about it because I didn't give it 100% or because it was the wrong idea.
And that's the hack. Jeff, this is brilliant. I love this. So on the show, obviously, we talk about failure a lot. And we don't talk about failure as an endpoint. We talk about it as sort of a means to an end. It's inevitable to go through. You can't get to success without dealing with failure and going through it and sort of ricocheting off it and using it to kind of align yourself and figure out what the market wants, figure out what you want, figure out what you need, figure out what works, what doesn't. That's just the way that it goes, right? So I love Jeff starts with every single thing that he's ever done successfully has come from an utter and miserable failure. And the way to fix this is by going all in. Okay, this is key because I think lots of us don't. We kind of reluctantly go into things and we'll try things, but we know, like if you really look deep down inside, you'll know that you didn't go 100% in. And there comes a point, he mentioned earlier when Derek Halpern said to him, like, you're better off digging one hole 100 feet down than you are to dig 101 foot holes. It's this focus, it's this one focus and just hammering it really, really hard, going absolutely all in. If there's an overarching theme in the over 200 smart people that I've got to talk to on this show, it's this idea of going all in on something. And yeah, it's not about the fact that you're choosing the exact right thing and then going all in. That's not it at all. But it's the idea of knowing, like, how do you possibly know that something didn't work? Don't you not want to be here like a year from now and think back to a project you started and be like, I wonder if that could have worked if I would have just went harder on it. But to get through that, say 3 months into a project and realize that, okay, this is just, it's not a good idea. Big deal. Because I went all in it. There's no second guessing yourself of maybe I didn't push it hard enough. Maybe I didn't do this hard enough. You need to know that. And you don't want to just be treading water and just kind of figuring it out. Like go all in on something. Go all in. Don't worry about if it's not the right idea. Trust me, the more all in you go, picture it as just like sheer momentum, like pinball or something. When that ball hits something, it doesn't just stop and that's it and explode and it's gone. No, it just bounces off something and finds the place it's meant to go. And the more momentum, the harder you hit things, the more that you can sort of get towards success. So it's this idea of momentum breeding more momentum. People want to work with people, want to help people, want to be around other people who are doing things. They don't even have to be quote unquote successful things. It's actually Jeff in general. I wrote a book. I don't even consider myself an author. I wrote a book that I'm really proud of. That book got introduced to Jeff, who then Jeff got introduced to me via it. And we hit up a conversation. He said, let's jump on Skype. We jumped on Skype, had a conversation, and we both hit it off. We ended up being on both of each other's podcasts because we kind of hit it off. But that wouldn't have happened if I hadn't have gone all in for 2.5 months, written a book and put it out there. If I had tried to write this perfect thing and create it, that's how this stuff works. That's how you'll see in your market that like similar people tend to keep working together and doing things together. It's because there are other people in motion. They want to work with it. You just have to get this motion. So do it. Come up with something. Anything and just go all into it. And then you'll know so much sooner if it's going to work or if it's not. And where it's going to lead you, I don't know. And that doesn't matter. That's kind of the fun in it. But trust me, that momentum will lead to other momentum. You won't hit something and just stop dead. Trust me. You're going to bounce off something and end up somewhere a year from now you never expected to be. But it won't happen if you don't get started. Jeff, thank you so much. All right. That was a lot of fun. Thank you so much for joining us today. Hacktheentrepreneur.com is the website. Go there. Get on the email list. I know you'll dig it. I know you will dig it. I'll be sending you stuff every Sunday. I may sit down, write it, and see where it goes. But then we can have a conversation. You can hit reply to any of those emails, and you come straight to my phone, straight to my laptop, and ask me any questions. Tell me what you like. Tell me what you hate. Hey, it's cool. I don't know. Let's just have a conversation. That's what it's for. All right. I won't take any more of your time. I do appreciate you stopping by. I know you have a lot of options out there, and it's so cool that we got to hang out again today. So hacktheentrepreneur.com is the website, and until next time, please keep hacking the entrepreneur.